We start our week with Dr. Joseph Rallo, the Commissioner of Higher Education in Louisiana.
Okay.
Well, tell us the state of affairs right now in higher education.
Well, on the positive side, and we're very appreciative to both the governor and the legislature for the outcomes this past session, whereby higher ed was pretty much held harmless, and also, as you know, TOPS was fully funded. On the other hand, there have been no changes whatsoever to the status of higher ed in the future with respect to we're the only area that's uncovered and unprotected. So we are positive, but at the same time, we're also cautious going into next session.
Well, today there is an editorial in The Advocate about TOPS, and we're going to continue to study it. And, of course, there have been efforts to tweak it. A minor change to lift the threshold to 2.75 was shot down by the legislature. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, we spend a lot of time with both legislators and our own staff looking at it. If you go back to the origin of TOPS, I mean, TOPS is funded for 8 semesters. So basically, it was said that 8 semesters is 4 years. It was designed as a merit-based program to graduate students in 4 years. So one of our proposals was to ask students to take 30 credits so they could graduate in 4 years. But that also, as the editorial pointed out, was not successful.
So what do you see as the future? We lost TOPS as a state, at least part of it, for 1 semester, and now it's back. But is it going to continue to be this situation where we don't know from year to year how it's going to be received by the legislature?
Well, it goes back to the point I made a few moments ago. In other words, higher education, that includes TOPS, is the only area that really is not protected either constitutionally or by statute. And so unless things change this next session and either revenue is generated or costs are cut, then once again, higher ed is the only place they can go to find dollars. So we are very optimistic and hopeful that some of the changes that have been spoken about will come to pass, so TOPS would be fully funded as well as higher ed. But at this point in time, nothing has changed.
Now, as far as what you believe the productive merits are for TOPS, do you think those are significant enough that this is a program that should be preserved at all costs?
Well, I think once again, I mean, and I was quoted just a little while ago, and I've said this openly in the legislature, you know, we at higher education believe that it's a good time to ask, is this the best possible use of $300 million a year if the desire is to get more students into the system and out into the economic environment? So, for example, we have a lot of people who are pursuing two-year programs because there are a lot of jobs in the state of Louisiana for two-year programs. And so, therefore, perhaps some of those dollars might be better spent because of the economic outcome. But that really is a legislative decision. We're just saying there are options out there other than simply the way things are.
877-217-5757 is your number. 297-5633 is the local number. There are those who believe that TOPS is a budget breaker, that it cannot go on indefinitely in a state that is starving for cash. Why do you believe that this program is so significant that it is worth preserving?
Well, as I go back to my starting principle, which is that every legislator that I meet, and obviously I meet a lot of them, says higher education is their top priority. And what I've said is that if that indeed is the case, then funding should follow that priority, whether the funding is for TOPS or funding for our higher education institutions. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say that higher ed is the priority and yet at the same time say it breaks the budget. There has to be a recognition to put your money where you believe your priorities are.
As far as the future of higher education in our state, this is an area that has been slammed hard by budget cuts over the last decade. This year, we got away without as much hemorrhaging as in the past as far as the red ink that was necessary for the state to get rid of. But it's still not a very good situation when you look at the last decade, is it?
No, it's not. And we are pretty much by every measure nationally or in the Southern Regional Board last, you know, 49th or 50th. And let me put it in perspective. And it's not all about money. You know, we believe in accountability. There's no question there. But dollars for a public higher institution are as important. So let me give you 8 or 9 years ago, our budget was about $1.5 billion. And if you backed out what we call mandates that you have to pay, retirement, et cetera, we were able to allocate about $1.2 billion. This past year, our budget was about $850 million. And if you backed out those costs, we were able to allocate about $250 million separate from TOPS. So in 8 or 9 years, we've gone from $1.2 billion to about $250 million to allocate to the campuses. That's the stark reality.
So with that as the backdrop, what does that mean as far as the future of higher education in Louisiana?
Well, again, I keep coming back. I would hope that our legislature would recognize that higher education, public higher education in this state is not a private good, it is a public good. And by that, I mean we produce the graduates who take the jobs and pay taxes, and taxes are an incredible revenue source for this state. We're also the institution that produces the graduates so that when business and industry is looking to come to Louisiana, they need a trained and educated workforce. So my hope is that the legislature will recognize those economic issues and begin to fund higher education so that we can achieve those economic goods for the state.
There are those, Dr. Rallo, who say that universities should be shut down, at least a few of them in the state, that that would be a way to remedy the costs of higher education. Your response?
Well, I've heard that since I've been here, and let me just answer a couple of different ways. Number one is that we are trying to engage in access, and so therefore if you shut an institution down, many of those students will not go elsewhere, and so therefore you're minimizing the number of students. The second thing is that the costs associated with shutting an institution aren't like closing a Walmart where you turn the lights off and go away. You still have debt that's associated with the campus. You still have retirement plans. You still have maintenance. So the reality is that you may generate in 5 or 10 years $1 million or $2 or $3 million, but the immediate impact is fewer students able to achieve higher ed, going back and not graduating and not being productive for this state.
877-217-5757 is your number. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Dr. Joseph Rallo, Commissioner of Higher Education.
Good morning. I would like our tax dollars to be spent on things like TOPS, and to call that an entitlement is, kind of like trying to cast it in a bad light. I mean, we've cut about 35,000 jobs from our state government. These are our taxes, and I'd rather see them spent on this than on the war on drugs or the wars in Afghanistan and 800 military bases around the world.
All right. You're talking primarily about federal expenditures, but it all goes hand in glove. Where are we going to spend the money when money is in limited supply? And higher education, based on the constitutional provisions of the great state of Louisiana, is first on the chopping block. Would you like to see the Constitution changed, Dr. Rallo?
Well, we have. Actually, we were supportive of several of the proposed constitutional changes and also the statutory changes. In other words, Senator Hewitt was a champion of trying to put all the protections on the table and saying get rid of them all and allow the legislators to prioritize. And we were very supportive of that because we believe the legislators, if they have the freedom to do that, will prioritize higher ed in a better position than it is now. Sadly, as you know, those things did not come through. We also were very supportive of Amendment 2, which was last year, which would allow our institutions to be able to regulate their own tuition, which is we're the only state in the union that does not allow the institutions to do that. That also failed as a constitutional amendment. So, once again, we're oftentimes our institutions are in the worst possible place. They are not getting public funding, but they are not allowed to manage their own affairs because the legislature maintains the controls.
Here's a question from Angela about whether all universities in the system are equal. Or are some universities more important than others?
Well, I think that if you ask a student where they are, they're going to say their institution is the most important, and I recognize that. But from my perspective as the commissioner and certainly as the Board of Regents' perspective, we treat all institutions equally, and we compare them only to their peers. So, for example, LSU A&M is compared to its peers nationally. Our regional institutions are compared to peers, the LCTCS system. So we try to be very equitable and manage the allocation of dollars that way. On the other hand, when you look at TOPS funding, that may be what the individual is referring to, because TOPS really benefits only about 5 or 6 or 7 of the institutions.
Well, Dr. Rallo, as far as what you said going into the break, you say only about 5 to 7 of the state's higher education institutes benefit from TOPS. What did you mean?
Well, what I mean is that, as you know, TOPS has an academic standard, and therefore the institutions treat TOPS dollars basically as they would Pell Grants or any other type of grant, and so therefore students have to qualify for TOPS, and based upon the GPAs and the ACTs, students select about 5 or 7 different institutions in the state to attend. So TOPS dollars are not spread equally across all institutions. They tend to go to about 5 or 6 different universities, and they benefit from that.
So which universities are we talking about that are kind of left behind that don't have many TOPS students?
Well, let me go the other way. It's easier. The list is shorter. I mean, the institutions that benefit from TOPS are LSU A&M, Southeastern, ULL, Louisiana Tech. Those will be the ones that I would really put in that group, and then, you know, Monroe. But those are the institutions where the bulk of students really decide to attend.
What about the historically black colleges? Do Southern and Grambling have many top students?
Well, they have top students, but as Dr. Belton would point out, that they do not have the same number that select other areas, because their mission oftentimes is a little bit different in terms of reaching out to the students, as Dr. Belton would say, and meet them where they are, and bring them to where they need to be. And so therefore, the TOPS piece is sometimes not quite part of that formula.
Well, are the students that are going to those universities, are they eligible for TOPS? Have they met the requirements, or are there fewer at those universities than others in our state?
Well, in other words, if you meet the requirements for TOPS, you're eligible for TOPS. It's, you know, there's no gradation. So the students that that are not eligible for TOPS simply are not eligible. But at the same time, they meet the admission standards of universities, so they simply just don't get support from the state in terms of tuition.
I would imagine that there's nobody who ever turns TOPS down.
I've heard a couple of people, I mean, I won't mention names, but I do know some individuals who say that they are able to fund their child's education, and therefore they feel that it's not necessary to use state dollars. So I can say that there are at least a handful of people, but you're right, most people will not turn it down.
Well, there's another part of the debate, whether people of means, and we're talking people with very high incomes, whether they should be allowed to get TOPS just as somebody who's living below the poverty level. Is it a one-size-fits-all kind of program? Should we continue that way?
Well, as you know, in this past legislative session, indeed the past two that I've been here, that has been a conversation, but it goes back once again. You know, TOPS was designed, I think rightfully so, as a merit-based program. And so therefore, I don't think that anyone wants to move away from that, because you have Bill Grants, which are the need-based component of that. And I think some people would say, well, perhaps you might take some of the money from TOPS, which is merit-based, and move it to need-based. And again, that's a legislative decision. But right now, as it stands, it sets the admissions requirements for the universities. We do that, and TOPS sets the admissions the requirements to achieve a TOPS grant. And right now, that's where those things are.
877-217-5757. A few more minutes with Dr. Joseph Rallo, the Commissioner of Higher Education in Louisiana. And a couple of questions from listeners at talk@talklouisiana.org. This one from Sharon about how Louisiana compares with other states in budget cuts over the last decade. Senator Kennedy has been on this show a few times and indicated that Louisiana has been cut harder than any other state. Is that accurate?
That is completely accurate. We are either 49th or 50th in most measures, except for this one, in which we are number one. We have been cut the most. And most institutions, you recognize the old Great Recession back in 2008, everyone was cut. But basically everyone except for Louisiana and maybe Wisconsin have really come back closer to the levels where they are. But we're still number one in terms of the total cuts.
And Angela asked the question that is important for those unaware. Which universities are under your jurisdiction as Commissioner of Higher Education?
All higher education institutions, all four systems, LCTCS, Southern, LSU, and the University of Louisiana, all have their own management boards, but all come under the Board of Regents.
But that's another big issue. Should we have four different management boards? There have been efforts in the past, going back many years, to change that. Is that a sacred cow?
Well, I'm not sure if it's a sacred cow or it's simply something that people want to talk about. There really is no standard around the country. I mean, there are states that have one. For example, if you go to Minnesota, there's one board for everyone. You go to other states, for where I came from in Texas, there must be eight, you know, different boards. So there's no right fit. From our perspective, and I think I speak for the system presidents, we want to work together. We want to manage higher education in the state so that it makes the most sense for our students.
Here's another question from Paul asking about community colleges, such as Baton Rouge BRCC. How have they affected schools in their cities? For example, how has that school affected Southern University's enrollment?
Well, I think it's complementary in many respects. As you know, a BRCC as, or any of the LCTCS system schools are two-year institutions, and they really have two missions. Mission number one is to prepare students to go into the workplace with a two-year or a credential. Mission number two is to transfer students to the four-year. So I think there's a very complementary relationship. But what has really happened over the past couple of years nationally, and certainly in Louisiana, is that many of the high-wage, high-demand jobs that are occurring in the state, and by that I mean $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year benefits, don't require a four-year degree. They require something between a credential and an associate. So therefore, the LCTCS system has been moving into a space that is a very positive space for them. And at the same time, they try to work with the other 4 years on the transfer mission. So that's really where the complementary aspects of higher ed are right now.
All right. Another question. University of New Orleans was moved out of the LSU system. Has that worked well?
Well, I think you have to ask the University of New Orleans. I do know that. Great new president down there. He's got some really fantastic ideas. They have yet to bounce back from the enrollment decline that they suffered after Katrina. I think they are recognizing that they need to be working on achieving not just enrollment growth, but really fulfilling their research mission. They have a ways to go, but I think that their president and their leadership and their faculty understand what they need to do.
Well, you got your job at a time when things were not at their best. As a colonel in the Air Force, you certainly know about damage control and being under pressure. But is this the kind of pressure you could live without?
Well, it's like everything else in life. In other words, at the point in my career where I, as you mentioned when you came up, you gave me a very nice introduction. I mean, I've been at this since 1980. You know, whether higher ed or the military, and there are few of any surprises. It's really what you make of it. And I took this job in a very positive way, hoping that a lot of my experiences may help the state, you know, move forward and progress. And hopefully when I leave and when I retire, that will be the case. But it's been a great time.
Well, Colonel and Dr. Rallo, please stay in touch. We'll be calling again soon. There's a lot to talk about regarding higher education. I don't think this issue is going to go away anytime soon.
No, there we agree.
Ha, ha, ha.